Oh, how good it is to be back in Southern California, where there's a real spring going on, instead of that that fake thing they have back east. Ladies and gentlemen, I looked in the eyes this week. Ooh, what a scary prospect for somebody in my business or business. Looked in the eyes of many of the elected representatives on Capitol Hill that you'd recognize by name, including several whom I've derided here. What a spooky premise that was. But it's good discipline, you know, to keep the laugh reflex repressed for hours on end, don't you find? Speaking of which, the XFL, the football league, in quotes, started by the World Wrestling Federation and co-owned by NBC, is tanking in the ratings, and fingers are being pointed. When tanking happens, finger pointing follows. You can bank on that. And some of the fingers are being pointed at the man who was hired to do the color commentary on the XFL games, Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Vince McMahon, the head of the World Wrestling Federation, has pointed fingers at Jesse Ventura for a kind of clownishness that detracts from the credibility of the XFL. And Jesse Ventura, when he was off the air on a recent news interview, well, he reacted.
Yeah, I had heard that too. Now, how can he badmouth me when it's him barking in my ear and I'm saying everything he wants to say? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when the finger pointing starts, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to get. Anyway, more about the. Well, no, let's just get to it right here, because it's maybe my favorite quote of the week. The World Wrestling Federation did this week buy its chief competitor, the World Championship Wrestling. I don't know. Can you say the World Championship? World Championship Wrestling. Bought it from AOL Time Warner, because Time Warner, AOL, you know, AOL doesn't want to be in the wrestling business. They'd rather be in the owning your brain business. So, hear from the story about it. The deal gives World Wrestling Federation global rights to the WCW, World Championship Wrestling brand, tape library, and other, here we go, check this out, intellectual property rights. Intellectual property rights in the purchase of World Championship Wrestling. So, who knew? Hulk Hogan's an intellectual. I guess we all are when you stop to not think about it. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey,
show.
New York City, it's cold and it's damp. And all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimo. That town's a little bit too rugged. You and me, you bad girl. Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty red out of my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. Born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top. Crank up the Beach Boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side.
on. Look at those trees. Look at that bum over there, man. He's down on his knees. Look at these women. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Century Boulevard.
We love it.
Victory Boulevard.
We love it.
Santa Monica Boulevard.
We love it.
made perfume in the back of the room. And me and my group, we'd sit out in the stoop and we'd play for her the song she liked best to have us play. On Vine Street, Vine Street, the crack of the back beat on Vine Street, swinging along on the wings of a song, and a lion secure, self-righteous and sure, why we'd things to say that the people would pay to hear us play. On Vine Street,
desert market to buy, barefoot up to date, palms of the real estate. Palm desert springs often run dry.
From the edge of the continent, from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, forgotten how to say it. This is Harry Shearer welcoming you to the show. So actually glad to be, in, as I said, in Southern California, that had to pay a little bit of musical tribute to it today because it's Oscar Day, not Oscar Mayer Day. It's a bigger wiener than that, ladies and gentlemen, much, much bigger and spicier wiener than that that we're celebrating here today. It's a golden wiener. Now, apropos of that wiener, you know, we think we're in a free country until we get wised up and find out that even though Kurt Anderson was talking this week on another public radio program about the blow for freedom struck when the Supreme Court ruled that an artist could use Barbie dolls in his art, even though Mattel said, hey, wait a minute, we own Barbie dolls, and it's not supposed to be art. It's supposed to be commerce. The Supreme Court said, no, it's an artist. So supposedly our freedoms were expanded. But then you get these, and you realize it's a yin and yang kind of situation at best. These are the restrictions imposed by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences on use of video from the Oscars. These restrictions sent out to your major news media. This is the policy for use of clips from Academy Awards. Any rebroadcast or other use of the program or any of its contents, except in accordance with the following, is prohibited. In accordance with fair use provisions of copyright law, broadcast programs and services that are recognized by the Academy as hard news entities may excerpt portions of awards presentation material for rebroadcast during the 7 days following the telecast, up to and including Sunday, subject to the following restrictions. One, up to 3 minutes may be used within the period ending the first day, Monday, following the telecast. 1 minute, not separate from the 3 minutes above, may be used within the period of the second through seventh days, Tuesday through Sunday, following the telecast. The material may be used only for news reporting purposes directly related to the awards presentation as an event. Like what? As opposed to food? Any display, exhibition, or performance of the material must be accompanied by the legend clip courtesy AMPS. No use of any excerpt from any awards presentation may be made while the telecast is in progress. All right, I understand the last two, copyright notice and not interfering with ABC's telecast, but excuse me. Broadcast programs and services that are recognized by the Academy as hard news entities. Does that mean, let's just be hypothetical. Let's imagine that Rush Limbaugh wanted to take a particularly egregiously political acceptance speech, something very liberal, and make fun of it on his broadcast. Would the Academy allow him? Let's use another hypothetical. Howard Stern wants to make rude noises during a very serious acceptance speech. Excerpt. Would the Academy allow him? Am I a hard news entity, Mr. Academy? Could I be a hard news entity, please, so I could use your clip? Boy, amazing. But it's a free country, don't you know? Ladies and gentlemen, as I quoted the Taliban, the fine Talibans, a few weeks ago. No, Taliban is plural itself. Did you know that? You learn something virtually every year on this program. As I quoted a Taliban official saying a couple of weeks ago, it is much easier to destroy than to build. So let me today do the hard work, the hard lifting, by giving you, all of you, a bright idea. And go make a million on it, and you don't owe me anything. Okay? But, as you know, I've been traveling. I mentioned this last week, and I mentioned it today, so I guess you know it. And boy, have I come to love the Charlotte, North Carolina airport. I could walk through that dump blindfolded now. Well, you could anyway. You know, you just bump into things. But I'm saying I wouldn't bump into things. You see what I'm saying? This hub-and-spoke thing has to end really, really, really soon. Anyway, if you travel a lot, you know the deal. But if you travel a lot and check into hotels, you know the deal. You unpack a little bit, and then you figure out how the TV works, and then you devote the next hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to learning how this particular shower works. Because every hotel has said, no, we have a better idea of how to operate a shower. We have a better control mechanism concept for the shower. And if you don't want to get incredibly scalded or incredibly frozen the next morning, you just have to put the time in to learn it. And I almost took a finger off turning a knob, not knowing that there was another thing below it that would grind my finger into it as the knob turned. So this, you know, pain inspires thought sometimes. And this was one of those times. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 2001. Every part of our lives, virtually every part of our lives, we are surrounded by little digital keypads that are supposed to make our lives easier, more convenient, more pleasant, easier, convenient, more pleasant, I guess, would fill the bill. So what's the one place? I mean, look at your car. The new cars, the new luxury cars, are virtual electronic keypad video arcade. So what's the one part of modern life that has remained immune to this method of control and could use it most agreeably? That's right. The bathroom, especially the hotel bathroom. Imagine, forget about your personal space car for a moment. Toss that out of your imagination. It ain't going to happen. But put this in the slot now where brain cells have been freed up. You check into a hotel. You go into the bathroom. There's a keypad on the shower wall. You punch in your preferred temperature and your preferred water pressure, and you punch save. And the next morning, you just hit the one button for the settings that you've saved, and there's your ideal shower. They do it with your car seat. Why can't they do it with it? What is it, water? Water refuses to be digitally controlled? No, I'm serious. I'm deadly serious now. No, don't. You're laughing at me. And I cannot. Anyway, so that's the great idea. Just digital keypads for hotel showers. Yes, you're nodding to yourself. What a great idea. Here's why. Now I'm changing subjects because that's planted now. You're going to think about that. One of you is going to go off and design it and just contribute money to your station. Who cares? Just to show you how different a country Britain is from this one. As I read you this story, ask yourself, where would I see such a program on American television? Okay? You got that? After you've done put the inventing aside now. You're just going to ask yourself the following question. Where could I see a program similar to the one described on American television? Here we go. Taking cannabis, that's marijuana, cocaine, ecstasy, and even heroin is not dangerous, but extremely enjoyable, according to a BBC television program to be shown this week. Smoking a marijuana joint is as relaxing as drinking a glass of wine. While many people find taking ecstasy the most pleasurable experience of their lives, injecting a modest dose of heroin can make mundane but essential household chores enjoyable, drug users say on the program called Chemical Britannia. Have you come up with a channel yet? Animal Planet? No, I don't think so. In dozens of interviews, the users explain why the popularity of drugs is escalating, despite the overwhelmingly negative message in schools, the media, and from government. The number of illegal drug takers in Britain has risen tenfold since the 60s. Surveys suggest the majority of people under the age of 40 have taken illegal drugs at some point. Debbie Christie, the executive producer who used drugs in the past, so don't try to bust her now, is that the point? Says it's an issue which needs airing. It's a responsible piece of television showing why people take drugs, which is because they like them, not because they are pushed into taking them. The presenter, Matt Southwell, says he's taken ecstasy for 12 years and still does so regularly. He enjoys drugs and argues they should be legalized. Most people take drugs, he says, because they want to relax and feel good, much in the same way they might have a drink at the weekend. But while alcohol is socially acceptable, people are being put in prison for the chemical equivalent of buying a round of drinks, he says. One user on the program says, quote, heroin is my drug of choice over alcohol or cocaine. I take it at weekends in small doses and do the gardening, unquote. Program is lambasted as irresponsible by the chief executive at the group Drug Abuse Resistance Education, DARE, which works to warn children of the dangers of drugs. Producer Christie denies it would encourage people to take up drugs. It would be remarkable if one program changed the numbers of people taking drugs, she says. In Britain, all drugs were legal and used routinely across society until 1860. Prime Minister William Gladstone and Florence Nightingale used opium. Queen Victoria used marijuana. Maybe it counts for the weight problem. I don't know. Arthur Conan Doyle, of course we know about him, but the cocaine and the thing. The temperance movement succeeded in getting drugs progressively banned until all but alcohol and tobacco were made illegal early in the 20th century. The U.S., of course, went further banning alcohol and prohibition. When cocaine was criminalized, global production was 10 tons a year. Now it's 700 tons a year. Illegal drugs now account for 8% of global trade, making it one of the three largest businesses in the world after oil and military equipment. So just my question, a program on which somebody said, yeah, I like to use a little heroin at the weekend and then do the gardening. We have how many channels in this country now? What channel would that be shown on? No, not the Home and Garden channel. I believe not. And finally, at the top of the week, actor Adam Sandler, I'm going to repeat that phrase for those of you paying close attention, actor Adam Sandler, thank you very much, has purchased a Malibu home for $3.1 million. The three-bedroom house was built in 1947 but was recently remodeled. The house also has three baths in 1,300 square feet. 1,300 square feet. 1,300 square feet, ladies and gentlemen, for Adam Sandler. Can't we do... We're a very rich country, even though we were in a recession. Can we not do better for our actor, Adam Sandler, than 1,300 square feet? Come on. Call in your pledge now. Sandler is also said to have a home in Bel Air. Okay, he doesn't need it. Forget the calls. Last half dozen movies have earned almost $500 million in North America alone, even though his last movie was financially disappointing. And it says in the real estate column, Sandler's core audience of teenage boys turned most of his loser characters into winners at the box office. You wouldn't know that if the real estate writer didn't tell you, would you? Do some gardening, won't you?
From CPR Continental Public Radio, President Bush's weekly radio address. Now from the White House, pre-recorded, here is President Bush.
My fellow Americans, I came to Washington hoping to change the tone of toxic partisanship. But this week my opponents sent a clear signal that they want the pointless bickering to continue like a bad marriage on the compound next door. My administration came under withering attack for the simple act of putting common sense back into the Clean Water Act. And let me tell you, it's been a while since that particular regulatory scheme has felt the bracing breeze of common sense. Bureaucrats whose salary doesn't depend on the health of the economy had decided that we should cut the allowable amount of arsenic in the nation's drinking water by four-fifths, from 50 parts per million to 10 parts per million. We decided that was the wrong approach. But now all of a sudden, if you listen to my opponents, I'm the president who thinks Americans should be drinking more poison. Well, I've been all over the world except for abroad, and I've never seen such a cynical attempt to politicize the debate. So here it is in a nutshell, the same way I learned it. These proposed regulations, if they went into effect, would mean serious costs for America's businessmen and women, the hard-working folks who create jobs and who every once in a while may accidentally dump some arsenic-enhanced wastes in a nearby body of water, which may or may not later be routed to a community's water supply. But nobody's going around putting arsenic in your kitchen faucet. Good common sense regulation prevents that, and so does the fact that it's impossible. So the question isn't, can we live in a world without arsenic in our water? We could live in that world. It's called being homeless in Nepal. In our world, imposing those costs on our business community when they've already got their hands full laying off some good folks is just inviting an even bigger economic slowdown than we already have, if we have one. The standard that we're keeping, 50 parts per million or billion or million, it's been a good standard. It's been our standard for 50 years. It's served us well. And I don't know about you, but I haven't had any friends or loved ones drop dead lately from arsenic poisoning. Even so, some of our opposition who are more interested in keeping the argument alive than keeping our economy afloat, they may say that those of us in government usually drink bottled water anyway, so we somehow are less concerned about the welfare of our fellow citizens who take it right out of the tap. Well, I know you can't see it, but I've got a glass here of good old Washington, D.C. tap water, made according to the federal government's current standard. And I'm going to drink it right now. If I thought it wasn't safe, you know, I wouldn't have done it, even on the radio. So let's not let scare tactics and old movies keep us from missing the point. This administration is not going to let common sense get poisoned. And that's the best news for the health that really matters, the health of our nation's pocketbook. You have a good weekend, and I will too. Thank you for listening.
From Washington, you've heard the president's radio address, and apparently some few seconds of the tape following the speech, for which we apologize. I'm Ira Zipkin. Funds for this program were not really necessary, since all we did was connect the tape machine to our satellite. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
I used to live in New York City. Everything there was dark and dirty. Outside my window was a steeple with a clock that always said 12:30. Thank you.
Where the corned beef is cured daily, and I wish we could all say that. I think we could all use a daily cure. This is strictly from Blackwell and Blackwell. And this is one of the few spots in Beverly Hills that is still happening. We went to New York, we did Geraldo. Why does anyone do Geraldo? And we are back. And we see with new eyes the city of Beverly Hills going through what may be its closing number. We don't know for sure. But from the days when we saw Mr. Petrosian say, and mean it, "Do not call me doctor anymore." From those days, we've seen the city of Beverly Hills go into a slide, which it reminds me of what my derriere looked like before the tuck. Just worse and worse and worse and worse, and suddenly you cannot go to the theater anymore. Anyway, we are here to have good conversation about the exciting world of you and more. Actually, the exciting world of the Oscar and how you will relate to him in the week to come, because it is Oscar week in Beverly Hills, in Hollywood, in the surrounding communities, including West Hollywood and the wonderful West Side. And so we are delighted to have with us a woman who we believe will be doing some of the most credible catering on Oscar night, and that is, of course, you cannot get a higher compliment than that unless Geraldo asks you to stay for a third segment. She is Cabrina.
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 Welcome to Strictly from Blackwell, Cabrina.
Thank you.
What do you feel about Delhi?
I love its raw energy.
Yeah.
I love its tradition.
Yes.
I think that there are things you can do with it. I did, and not an Oscar party.
No.
But an American Music Awards party.
Yeah.
And we did things with pastrami that you wouldn't believe.
I did this one night with Spencer, and there was no awards show. Sabrina.
Yes.
Let's get, what will you be doing? Who? feeding on Oscar night?
We're doing several parties, Mr. Blackwell.
Okay, good.
One is the 14th annual Stuntman Unlimited's Oscar party.
Okay, good.
And that's just wonderful. That's just fun.
Fun.
That's just a fun American food.
Fun.
Burgers and meatloaf. Mashed potatoes. No vegetables, speak of.
No, really.
Just some iceberg lettuce in a Roquefort.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a wonderful... Do you know the designer Cabret? We are doing a party that she is holding for some of the costume nominees and design nominees and so forth.
Yeah.
And this is so much fun because we get to do the Franco-Japanese thing, which I love. I really...
Yeah.
And as we get into it now, I understand it more. And I think it's just...
To
do anything with shiitake mushrooms to me is a kick.
Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now, we feel that this is going to be maybe a fad. Maybe something that will not last. Cabaret. I would not call her. I would not call her a designer. I would call her a rearranger. But that is wonderful news.
Mm-hmm.
And Cabrina and Cabaret, there is no.
There's no relationship. It's just a coincidence.
Okay, good. We love this. David Schlesinger is back with us here at Frommer's. David, who has been, I like to feel, the conscience of Beverly Hills the wondrous, glossy three color days of Beverly Hills info and Beverly Hills 555-1212 and all the wondrous publications that chronicled the positive.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful openings and galleries and restaurants and stores and shops and so forth before the two most seen words in the city of Beverly Hills became Four Leaves. David Schlesinger, welcome back.
Thank you.
Mr. Blackwell, always a friend of the program.
Thank you, Mr. Blackwell. Yes, we are seeing Beverly Hills going through what I would say is perhaps her steepest trough. Mm. In the, let's be kind, the three decades since I've been on the scene.
Okay, then.
And I were in the business of putting out a slick paper, three or four colored glossy magazine on this subject of the upside, the wonderful openings, the restaurants, the galleries, the nightlife of Beverly Hills, I'd be slitting my wrists right about now.
David, I know this feeling. I've had it myself, and I've never been in the magazine business. But you were not. You fortunately, the last time we talked to you, you were engaged in the Beverly Hills Info, which was an 800,
900 number
to call?
You called up, and we gave you... information on the upbeat information to do with
which
Beverly
we love
Hills, the galleries, the museums. Well, no, there are no museums, but the restaurants and the openings and the clubs and so forth. And that was exciting for a while, but we have had to cut back. As you know, Mr. Blackwell, the recession has just
terrible.
Toppled this town. Yeah. You see Bichon threatening to open his doors and deal with the general public, which to me is just frightening.
Nightmare.
That day could ever come to pass, but it is. And so we're doing what I think is going to be the hottest publication to hit this community since Beverly Hills, Where Do I Go?, which was my last
wonderful
slick paper operation. Yeah. This is... called Beverly Hills Free Please Take. Beverly. And it is four pages.
Four pages.
Four pages. So we kept the four.
Four. Okay.
And it is free. You pick it up. We will have distribution drop points.
Interesting.
At many of the establishments which are still open.
Yeah.
And it is on a very, what we consider a
A?
B. B. Plus. Quality newsprint.
Okay.
Which is very fine. Yeah. Very,
no.
Almost white.
Yeah.
And it is a listing. We do not review anymore. We found that even though we stressed basically all we did was the positives of the restaurants and the galleries and so forth of Beverly Hills, that just a listing as opposed to anybody's saying this is great allows us to just get so much more in.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to make room for the advertising because we've only got 4 pages.
Okay, good. Cabrina, what will the people at Cabre's party be eating? You say Franco-Japanese. Mm-hmm. Tell us exactly what these people will be putting in their mouths on Oscar night.
Well, I can only say what we'll be providing them, Mr. Blackwell. There will be not a raw, but a very rare ahi tuna pizza.
Okay, good.
Which I feel just...
No.
The lightness and the heaviness of it are just so yin-yang for Oscar night. Because you're either win or loser, or your friend of one of the other.
Win or loser.
So it just seems to me to speak to the night.
Yeah.
We're going to do a daikon salad. Daikon is a Japanese green.
Interesting.
Actually, an oriental green. Mm-hmm. And there will be a couple of sea urchin dishes, which we're still learning.
No.
And
really?
Cabre has been wonderful about just saying, you know, basically people are going to be watching and they're going to be too nervous to eat anybody. So
I know, but
she's told me to have fun. And
okay.
That's what I'm trying to do because it's a wonderful night for the town.
No, this
And so anything that I can contribute is,
I know.
You know,
yeah. No, sea urchin, though, we would. David.
Yeah.
So when do we see Beverly Hills Free Police Station? When does it make its wondrous debut?
It will be at, well, it'll be here at Froma's next Monday.
Okay.
They have agreed
to
let me put the box next to the cash register, which is, of course, as you know,
the best.
The point of maximum impact.
Just the best.
We are still dickering with several of the clothing establishments that are still open.
Well.
We are talking to Mr. Petrosian about being in his operation.
Okay, good.
Bijan has said that we can put a box in front of his closed door, which we think. It's good for him, good for us.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of let the devil take the hindmost, because we are going to be first and foremost every 2 months with the most exciting aspects of the restaurants, the openings,
the
closings, let's be honest.
Wow, interesting.
The homes.
Yeah. Yes.
All of that in the city of Beverly Hills. And we think that we're going to hit the right note for this period of time in Beverly Hills, because it is, I don't know if I mentioned this before, it is free.
You did indeed. David Schlesinger, best of luck. And I don't know where the time goes. It must be with the recession, we lose time as well as everything else. So time is for Lee still.
Yeah.
But David Schlesinger, good luck with Beverly Hills for free. Please take. The concept of free to me is so intriguing. We must have you back to find out how that goes.
Great.
Cabrina, best of luck.
Thank you.
With the Oscar night.
Thank you.
Catering. And we hope that everyone is winning.
That's wonderful.
And now from is the delicatessen that still packs a sandwich and a half in every bag. This is Blackwell saying until next time, when we will look at the fall collection and what a mess Milan has made of it. Strictly from Blackwell. Bye bye.
Let's go. I cannot stand this smell.
Everything's wrong. I'm waiting for love, but you come along. chow, but you seem too happy to see me somehow. And then the sky falls in on my head. Your nails grow long, your eyes turn red. You say forever, dear, and a day. You swear that you're never gonna go. Get you somehow. And then the lightning streaks across the room. You smell like something fresh from the tomb. You squeeze too hard, you insist on kissing when it seems like half your face is missing and your hair's turned into reptiles hissing. And I can't wake up to say Foster boys coming home to dad. What you reap, so shall you sow. My feet don't fail me. Go, man, go. Cause I can't wake up to save my life. Oh, I can't wake up to save my life. Oh, I can't wake up.
Well, this might serve as a wake-up call, and I read it, of course, without comment, as I must. This is from the local dog trainer, incidentally. In what appeared to some to be a blatant effort to curry favor with China, James Murdoch, heir to the News Corporation media empire, called the Falun Gong spiritual movement a dangerous and apocalyptic cult, and lambasted the Western press for its negative portrayal of China. 8 years after his powerful father, Rupert, offended officials in Beijing by proclaiming satellite television a weapon to attack totalitarian governments, his 28-year-old son demonstrated in a speech this week in Los Angeles just how far News Corporation is willing to go to make amends. Speaking at the Milken Institute's annual business conference in Beverly Hills, and aren't we glad Mike got out of jail so we could run that? The younger Murdoch startled even China's supporters with his zealous defense of that government's harsh crackdown on Falun Gong and criticism of Hong Kong democracy supporters. Falun Gong is a spiritual movement that combines meditation and exercise and was banned by the Chinese government after its followers staged a protest in Tiananmen Square in 1999. With his prominent father in the audience, the chairman of News Corporation's Hong Kong-based Star Group said the spiritual group Falun Gong, quote, clearly does not have the success of China at heart, unquote. Describing himself as apolitical, Murdoch also said Hong Kong democracy advocates should accept the reality of life under a strong-willed, absolutist government. And he accused the Hong Kong press and Western news magazines of painting a falsely negative portrayal of China through their focus on issues such as human rights. Quote, "I think these destabilizing forces today are very, very dangerous for the Chinese government," the younger Murdoch said. There's more, but ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today's edition of the show. The program returns. We don't even have time for commentary. Doggone it. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, on nothing in China. I wonder why. Around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz. And on your computer, maybe in China, whenever you want it, at www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like having the Academy recognize this broadcast as a hard news entity, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much, uh-huh. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Joe Frank is next. He's on the other side. This is KCRW Santa Monica. Oh, by the way, I always forget to say this, and this is the last week I guess I'll forget to say this. The show will be repeated tonight at 6 p.m. in its entirety and in yours. This is KCRW Santa Monica at 89.9, KCRY Mojave Antelope Valley at 88.1, KCRI Indio Palm Springs at 89.3, KCRU Oxnard Ventura at 89.1. KCRW is your radio home for NPR News and handpicked music, streaming three channels 24/7 at KCRW.com. KCRW is a community service of Santa Monica College.